Sometimes when we have services that go over experiences people had in the annual meetings, the congregants hear an alphabet soup, UUA, PNWD, GA. So I just want to let you know what some of those alphabet mean. So UUA stands for the Unitarian Universalist Association. We are a member congregation of the Unitarian Universalist Association. PNWD stands for Pacific Northwest District. It is a district of the Unitarian Universalist Association. GA stands for General Assembly, and it is the annual meeting where business is conducted and workshops for the Unitarian Universalist Association. And, of course, we also have the Pacific Northwest District Assembly, the most recent one, which was held in Spokane. And now I would like to introduce our speakers who will talk about their experiences. Brian will talk about the Pacific Northwest District Assembly, and Debbie Johnson will talk about the General Assembly, which was held in Providence, Rhode Island, and Debbie will begin.
I attended PNWD in Spokane and also the General Assembly in Providence, Rhode Island this June. My first attendance at both of these. And I can truly say they were spiritually moving, informative, and a whole lot of fun. And I plan to go again. General Assembly is a very large convention. There were nearly 5,000 attendees, and it began on Wednesday evening with a banner parade and went through Sunday afternoon. The phrase, "there was something for everyone," describes General Assembly. Like in Spokane, there was a nice contingency of youth. There was a youth program track and a designated youth hangout area. GA offers a nice blend of worship, educational seminars, UUA governance, and delegate participation in determining future priorities and actions for our association. Mornings began with a worship service that included singing an inspirational message in a very large convention hall. And remember, there were nearly 5,000 of us. We sang songs from the same hymn book in the chair backs in front of you. Did I say GA was educational? Opportunities abound for learning. It was difficult to choose between the many diverse breakout sessions. The program book listed 161 different adult seminars in 24 major topic areas. Topics included social justice issues, stewardship and finance, worship, music, theology and spiritual development, mission, vision, leadership development, as well as UUA business and governance. I attended a session on immigration reform and another one on Buddhism and our seven principles. Another session addressed a concern that many UU churches have in being accepting of differing political views. That is Republicans. It was very eye-opening. The speaker, a UU minister outside of Washington, D.C., told her story of growing up in a UU church where her Republican parents quit going to church because while they were very much in sync with the congregation's spirituality and values, they didn't feel welcome because they let it be known they were Republicans. We strive to embrace diversity and claim that we are accepting of all, sweeping our prejudice against certain other religions and political persuasions under the rug. I also attended a very informative session on endowments. And I'm excited to apply what I learned there for BOOF. The UUA has $175 million in endowment investments for many different churches. And we can participate in their program. They will manage the money well, invest it in socially conscious stocks, and they've been getting excellent returns. Their endowment fund has earned an average 7% annual return for the last 7 years. That's nearly doubling your money every 10 years. I think participation in that program would be a wise investment for BOOF and a way to begin building our endowment. I was excited to attend that session. But I must say, the highlight of GA for me was hearing Sister Simone Campbell speak, the WARE lecturer or our keynote speaker one evening. Sister Simone is a Catholic nun who has dedicated her life to social justice causes and political lobbying for economic and social justice. She is credited by many, including President Obama, as instrumental in the passage of the Affordable Care Act, and also in stopping the Ryan budget passed by the House in 2012. Sister Simone organized a Nuns on the Bus tour of 9 states to draw attention to the devastating impact this budget would have on programs meant to help those on the lowest rung of our economic ladder. Sister Simone's thesis at GA was Walk Towards Trouble. Well, I certainly won't do justice to her delivery. I'd like to take directly from some of her words and attempt to deliver a portion of her talk to you today. So, speaking from Sister Simone's talk, all of our spiritual leaders, when there are broken hearts or pain in our world, they have walked towards it. They walk towards the pain in order to embrace, to touch, to heal. When you walk towards trouble, my experience is that I open myself to questions, to uncertainty, to risk, to know that I am not in control of the situation. To have the courage to walk into doubt as much as we walk into faith. If we don't have doubt, we don't have faith. She goes on, walking towards trouble means we're willing to open ourselves to the surprise, to different perspectives, to those with a different story. Walking willingly in a way that I am willing to risk and be present with you and hear your story. Then Sister Simone referenced Pope Francis. She likes to refer to him as Pope Frank, because she admires him so much. And she attributed Pope Frank as saying 2 really critical things for her talk. One was that inequality is the source of all evil. And 2 is that reality is more important than theories. Not only economic inequality, but an attitude of inequality in our relationships can be a source of evil. Stories reflect reality, and walking towards trouble with an anticipation of others' experiences enriches our life and our faith. Sister Simone's talk, as well as her book, is filled with stories. Stories of walking towards trouble. Again, I'd like to quote Sister Simone, one of the stories that she told that evening. Her story. In 2008, I went on a Catholic relief service trip to Syria and Lebanon. I went knowing that I opposed trafficking. I think most people here would oppose trafficking. But do you know what happened? I met a woman whose husband had been killed, and she fled to Damascus with her 6 children. In the Arab world, when you don't have a male adult in the household, you don't have a bread earner. She had sent her young boys into the streets to do something, clean shoes, do something so they could get a little money. But then What she ended up doing, she told me, was she sold her oldest daughter so that the rest of the family could live. She wept when she told me that story, and I wept with her because I had been so judgmental about anyone who would sell a member of their family. If you walk towards trouble, you have to walk with an open heart and learn deeper truths. Learn that some of my simple-minded assessments weren't accurate. To learn that there's a deeper story of trafficking, of desperation, and of people so hungry that they will do anything to save their family. She also described, stories open us to deeper truths. If we are bold enough to walk towards trouble, what we have to do is open ourselves to listening and curiosity as a virtue of faith. Being open to everyone means we hear perspectives that we would not otherwise. We need to know those perspectives if we are going to make a difference. This story was just one of many stories that Sister Simone tells in her lecture that evening. Her stories of walking towards trouble made me reflect on our Booth community. I was reminded of those who walked towards trouble at the legislature last February and March in support of adding sexual orientation and gender identity to the Idaho Human Rights Act. Of Lori and Shireen, who are walking towards trouble in the courts in an effort to gain marriage equality for same-sex couples. Of those who testified before the legislature in 2013 in opposition of Chuck Winder's mandatory ultrasound bill. Of those who are speaking up for immigration reform and those who are speaking out against economic inequality that has and is continuing to escalate in our society. I was reminded of how we walk towards trouble. And I was energized with Sister Simone's enthusiasm of being open to other people's experiences and walking towards trouble in community. I'm delighted to be a part of the Booth community where we do walk together towards trouble. And it was also nice to be a part of the larger UU community in General Assembly in Providence as well as in Spokane.
In March, we traveled to Spokane for the Pacific Northwest District Assembly in accordance with one of our much beloved Unitarian Universalist axioms. See if you can figure out which one it is. Emmy went ahead a day early to participate in educators' meetings. Anna flew up early to visit family living in Spokane. Debbie and David flew up on Friday. Jay and Carol and Catherine drove up through the mountains on Highway 55. Tony and Jane left early and took I-84. We leapfrogged with them along the way. The rest of us met at the church early Friday morning and started off in a four-car convoy. Before we got to the freeway, Leslie in her car, with Morgan, Nancy, and Tammy riding, had taken a different route. The other three vehicles continued on. At the Dead Man's Pass rest stop, Matthew left the group to find a McDonald's where Logan could have lunch. The two remaining vehicles carrying the youth contingent forged on. We made a lunch and gas stop at Fred Meyer in Kennewick, and upon leaving there, Joe, driving Tammy's car with Darius, Joseph, Camille, Dennis, and Galvin on board, took a wrong turn and we lost them. Wanda and I were driving a minivan with Anthony, Elia, and Gabe, so we went on to Spokane. We arrived at the Doubletree Hotel, the site of District Assembly, and the others were either already there or followed shortly. So what off-stated UU belief does this illustrate? Anyone? Okay. I heard one or two people saying it. Yes, that's... yes. That too. We might. But basically, yes, there are many paths to the holy. But sooner or later, we all end up in the same place or something like that. And I will have to point out that it was a masterpiece of logistics, finding rides for everyone and moving them all to Spokane as efficiently as possible in a minimum number of vehicles. Booth sent 28 people to Spokane, 18 adults, 9 high school youth, 1 8-year-old. To the best of my knowledge, that's the most we've ever sent to any UU function outside of Boise. It would have been 29, but our minister, Dana, had to cancel due to surgery a few days prior to the event. We made up nearly 10% of the total attendance at assembly. We were noticed. We made our presence known in both adult and youth fora. And perhaps more importantly, we brought back to Boise a greater sense of connection to the district and nationwide Unitarian Universalist movement. This was especially important among our high school students, who are now much more aware of what it means to be a UU. Some even described it as a life-changing experience. Unlike most assemblies where there's a keynote speaker and a number of breakout sessions, such as Debbie described at GA, this was a unified meeting led by the Reverend Dr. Tandeika, UU minister, teacher, writer, and theologian. The topic was love beyond belief, and after 2 days, we believed. We listened, we sang, we laughed, we participated in group activities, we passed rocks to each other, which we will demonstrate to you shortly. At times, I felt this was the closest thing I've ever seen to a UU tent revival meeting. Believe me, even as cool, logical UUs, we have things that unite us, things we agree upon and believe in, and when we unite in thought and belief and practice, we can get there emotionally as well. Beyond the official program, there were many connections made, much fun, some good food, and stuff to buy or acquire and bring home with us. You might be aware that the PNWD Standing on the Side of Love banner, that big yellow one that went past here earlier, was won by Leslie Miller when she guessed closest to the number of miles it had traveled to various events in the Northwest during the previous 53 months. The actual total was 13,385 miles, spreading message to an assortment of events as far away as Alaska, and Leslie was just 270 miles short of that number. In a bit of synchronicity, many of us went to the final Add the Four Words rally at the Idaho State House the day after we returned from Spokane, and the yellow banner was there with us to carry the UU message once again, one of the most noticeable features at that rally. Some of us connected with old friends and acquaintances from other times and places. Our contingent was there without our minister, and it just happened that Elizabeth Green, who was serving as the GAP minister for the UU Church in Ashland, Oregon, was there without her congregation. So it was only natural that most of us, either singly in small groups or all together, spent some time catching up with her on news of the past several months. During one break between events, we got all the Idaho UUs plus Dr. Tandeika and a few others to join us beneath the booth banner in one corner of the main room with our hands over our mouths in support of the Add the Four Words movement. Photos of that movement were posted to the Add the Four Words Facebook page and other places, and one of those photos is in today's slideshow. Saturday night was open mic coffee house in the main room. Anyone could get up and perform anything they wanted, comedy, music, poetry, whatever. Anthony and Gabe were bold enough to take the stage for a booth, Gabe with a tragicomic real-life story, Anthony with some of his profound free verse observations. After the Sunday worship service, with much more UU music connecting and rejoicing, and I should mention the UU music, Sunday especially, they ran one of these hymns after another, and everybody knew them. There was no break, no Liza playing the tune for us. We just went from one to the other, singing them all straight through. And it was great. After all of that, we packed our things and headed home. For the youth contingent, the trip up and back was a real bonding experience, perhaps with as much meaning, as much joy and sorrow as anything else they did that weekend. Wanda and I really enjoyed driving half of the group, listening to their conversations, participating in their games. And from the last events in Spokane at noon until we rolled into the booth parking lot Sunday night, adults and youth were talking about doing it again. Well, the next PNWD Assembly is combined with the next Unitarian Universalist Association General Assembly in Portland next summer, June 24th to 28th. That's a straight shot down I-84 or a quick airplane flight. A quick airplane flight with the Portland MAX light rail service between airport and downtown. The MAX also runs between downtown and the convention center. Sorry, no more fare-free zone, but a day pass just costs $5. Mark your calendar and start making plans now. I'm sure we will try to organize a booth contingent for Portland, likely with some type of financial assistance available to help with registration costs for those who would really like to go. And we would like to see a good youth contingent going with us again. I'll close with the quote that closed my Spokane photo album on Facebook, a thought that I picked up from BuzzFeed Associate Editor Mike Spohr just about that time. It can be hard to see in the beginning, but eventually it becomes clear that every moment on this earth, from the mundane to the amazing, is a gift that we're all so incredibly lucky to share. Thank you.